time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
So this week I talked to Brooke about the Trans-Tasman bubble announcement that happened yesterday. ACT has spoken out about the Trans-Tasman bubble for quite a while. And I also talked to her about the light rail and generally just looking at transport in Auckland going into the future, and sort of touched on the infrastructure policy as well. So here's our chat. Firstly, we're starting off this week by talking about the Trans-Tasman bubble. So is ACT breathing a sigh of relief now that the Trans-Tasman bubble is now coming into play?
Well, I think there's two elements to this. I mean, obviously we're happy that we have actually started talking about opening the borders to Australia with a Trans-Tasman bubble. But the second part of it is asking the question, well, why has it taken this long? You know, all we've really achieved is what New South Wales and Australia did 6 months ago. None of this idea is new or exciting or fresh from the government. It's essentially what we could have been doing at the end of last year. And so my real question is, why on earth has it taken us this long to essentially do what our neighbours over in Australia have already been doing? And that's looking at opening up and saying, yes, we can have travel between states, we can have travel between us as essentially another state of Australia, and people can come back and forth. And as soon as there's a community outbreak in New Zealand or one of the other Australian states, that stops travel within that region until that community outbreak is gone away again. So it's not very clear to me why this information is being put out right before another holiday, but also why no one is really questioning the fact that we could have done this 6 months ago.
Well, is it really fair to be making the assumption that we would be able to do the same as what New South Wales has been able to do when there's so many more complications to international travel when it compared to domestic travel, such as, say, having things like travel insurance, with the potential that if an Australian got stuck over here due to a COVID outbreak and having to stay here for a much longer period of time, where they're not going to be able to access the same things that they'll be able to access in Australia?
No, not really. I mean, ACC works, you know, in the same way that if anyone got ill over here from Australia, then that would work. If you're coming over from an international country, you probably should have travel insurance for that anyway. The real question is, well, if we're having the ability for New Zealanders already to go to Australia, surely they've already thought about all of those problems on their end. So why can't we do the same back? And it appears that the government has now come to the decision 6 months after New South Wales and said, yep, you're right. There isn't any real problem. But I put this out as a issue because the world is changing. And as we're looking around the world, we're seeing countries go through huge vaccination rollouts. If you look even at just the specific example of Israel.
Just before the rest of the interview continues, I wanted to quickly talk about Brooke's choice of Israel as an example, which I didn't get time to question her on today. I just wanted to point out that the vaccine rollout for Palestinians living in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip has been slow and ineffective compared to the rollout for Israelis, and has resulted in a sharp increase in the number of cases and deaths.
They've done over 10 million doses of their vaccine, but we've only done about 70,000 doses ourselves over here. There are going to be more and more countries with these vaccination programs rolling out wanting to open their borders, starting to trade and have travel between nations very quickly. And the problem I look at is, well, it's taken us this long to look at our closest neighbour and whether we should be able to open up with them. How many other of our programs with COVID are we going to be seeing delays and slowly but surely fall behind the rest of the world as they open up?
So you mentioned vaccines, and ACT stated that there hasn't been a huge number of progressions in our border security, but I'm sure many people consider vaccinations for our border workers a huge step in the right direction.
Is it not better that we can now have more certainty that this bubble will be consistent instead of going on and off as outbreaks occur?
I think it is really important that we do have a consistent vaccination program and we actually know what it is, and making sure that we're setting targets so that we know when the government has failed or is falling behind. The government is really not wanting to set targets or metrics on itself so that it doesn't fall behind. But I saw a headline this morning that said Auckland DHB workers had started to receive the vaccine before the border workers, which is a real concern because you would think the border workforce is our first port of call, our first security net. So for people further down the chain to be getting those vaccinations before we've finished doing our border workforce, I think is a real concern. But we do need to be getting that vaccination out and making sure that as the world progresses and moves on and people don't want to be going in and out of lockdowns, we do need a strategy that's more than just an international travel bubble between two countries. We need to be looking wider at how do we get back to a world where people can travel from even more countries. And a lot of that is underpinned by a vaccination strategy. And it's very concerning that I heard that the government has fallen so far behind on its own vaccination program that the separate DHBs are creating their own way of registering who's had the vaccine. It seems like a very reactive way of putting out a nationwide program. And the real concern there is, well, has anybody stopped to think, surely we should be thinking about our vaccine passport and all of that information tied to the people who are getting vaccinated? And will we actually have access to information about who has been vaccinated? Or is that another thing that's going to be delayed in the future as people scramble around to find records of who's actually had a vaccine?
Okay, so we've talked a lot about vaccine and the Trans-Tasman bubble, and we're going to move on to our next topic for this week, which is light rail and sort of Auckland transport. So ex-spokesperson Simon Court has talked about improving roads to reduce congestion in Auckland, but wouldn't getting people out of cars and onto public transport be a more productive way of reducing congestion?
Oh, I absolutely agree that we do need more public transport. But the issue that's been coming up this week is talking about the government wanting to push forward with light rail to the airport. But it's the same old problem. Once you put a light rail to the airport, it still needs to go on that same road full of the traffic with everybody else. So it's not actually any easier to get to the airport. Still needs to stop at the traffic lights and would take probably about an hour and a half from the city to get there. At that point, most people would probably say, well, I'll just catch the airport bus, or I'll just get a taxi or an Uber instead. So if that's why the government has decided to put that in there, to kind of reduce congestion and make things easier for people to travel, I don't think they've made the proper case for it. And it looks like it's going to take about 8 years for them to actually get it up and running. So that shows that not only do we have no action for a very, very long time, but that's not actually going to do anything for the day-to-day problems of traffic in Auckland anyway.
I do want to touch on this, it takes a long time for infrastructure in New Zealand to take a long time. We're seeing with light rail, the CityLink, and just general infrastructure projects in New Zealand. Does ACT have any way of putting something forward so that infrastructure can happen faster in New Zealand?
Yeah, we've actually got a huge infrastructure policy, and it's really about how do we even make sure that people have places to live? Well, you've got to make sure that people have the ability to get there. And this is a whole reason about why we just don't have enough homes in the country at all, is because we're not looking at how we get that infrastructure to places to begin with. So we do need to be building more roads for public transport, for cars, for pedestrians as well. But the problem is the funding of it. And it's really technical, but we need to have better grouping of funding between the local council and the government so that these are long-term infrastructure plans rather than in the case of what I call a political project, which is a government minister going out there and saying, this is my idea for something for a particular area because I think that this will get me votes to get in next time. We need to be thinking far more longer term about where we want our country to go and what we want to look like in 30 years rather than every 3 years saying, yeah, we're going to build another light rail, we're going to build a new intersection in this area and never seeing any progress.
Sweet. So that was Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party talking about the Trans-Tasman bubble announcement that happened last week, and it's going to be coming into place soon. So if you're wanting to get to Australia, then make sure to book your tickets. If you've got Australian relatives or friends coming over here, make sure they also book their tickets, because from my understanding, they're going to get taken up pretty quickly. We're just going to have a few ads, and then we're going to be going into our final piece for today. For today, from Karl Nama, who's going to be looking at the Waitangi Tribunal. Here's some ads.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.